We are doing Parshat Chayei Sara, and we will begin. Vayu Chayei Sara, Me'a Shana, V'Srim Shana, V'Sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sara. The life of Sarah was 100 years, and 20 years, and 7 years. Atamot Sarah B'Kiryat Arba, Yichivron Be'er Kenan. Sarah passed away in Kiryas Arba, which is Hebron in the land of Kenan. Vayu Avram Nispod Sara Ve'Liv Kota. Avram came to eulogize Sarah and cry over her. Why is it called Kiryas Arba, the city of the fourth? The four pairs, Adam, Chava, Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, Yaakov, Leah, were all buried there. And I guess in prophecy, the city was already known as Kiryas Arba. Avram came to eulogize Sarah and weep over her before he buries her. Now, how could Avram delay Sarah's burial with his hesped? So the Gemara says from here we derive that hesped is kvod ha-mesim. The Gemara questions, when we eulogize the dead, who are we honoring? Are we honoring the dead or are we honoring ourselves? In honor of who do we say the eulogy? So the Gemara says it must be in honor of the deceased, because if it was in our own honor, we wouldn't delay their burial for the sake of giving the eulogy. So Avram detained Sarah's burial because it is in her honor that he is giving the eulogy. Yakum Avram al pnei mito. Avram gets up from upon his dead, from upon Sarah. He says to the sons of Chet, saying to the Hittites the following, I am a sojourner, I am new here, I've been here for a while, I am with you, please give me a plot that will be an inheritance for burial with you, and I'll bury my dead from before me. What does it mean from before me? So from here Chazal derived the concept that once one has the responsibility to bury a relative, from that moment onwards, it is considered as though that relative is standing before them. And they are patur from any mitzvah in the Torah. They don't pray shachrit, they don't don tefillin, they don't say benching, they don't say brachot. From the moment one's relative has passed away, one's responsibilities lie with burying that relative. Correct. And we say even if the relative isn't right here, the relative is at home, and he has to go around and prepare the burial, or even if he's not busy this very moment, we say he is patur from the regular positive commandments. Now, he's not patur from the prohibitions. Someone can't say, well, I won't fast on Yom Kippur because someone passed away. No such thing. We are obligated to do the prohibitions. Someone can't say, well, let me go kill someone. I'm not obligated. My relative just died. Doesn't work that way. We say the positive commandments, when it comes to the mitzvot asay, he doesn't have to take his tefillin, he doesn't have to daven, he doesn't have to make blessings, because he is busy with the deceased.
There are different levels, though. There's the guy directly in line to take the coffin, there's the guy behind him, and the guy waiting behind him.
So we're talking about the immediate relatives. Okay. So the sons of Chet, the Hittites, answer Avram, saying to him, Shemainu Adoni, listen to us, our master, Nesi Elohim Ata B'tochein. You are a prince of God in our midst. V'mivchar kevarinu kvod meitecha. Take our best burial plots to bury your dead. Ish mimenu et kivro lo yichle mimicha mikvo meitecha. None among us will hold back their own personal burial plot from giving you to bury your dead. V'yakum Avram ishtach olam arz ibnechetz. Avram arises, bows to the nation, to the Hittites. V'yidaber itam lemor, and he says to them, Im yeshet nafshchem likvot meitim lefanai. If you really want to bury my deceased from before me, Shemaoni, you listen to me, Ufiguri Befon ben Tzohar, please ask Ephron, the son of Tzohar, Ve'yiten li, and he will give me, et Ma'arat HaMachpelah Sholo, the cave of double. Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the cave of double. Why is it cave of double? One says, because there was an external room and an internal room. There were two rooms to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And what does Machpelah mean? That it was double with pairs. You had four pairs, right? Adam, Chava, Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, Yaakov, Leah. And another opinion says that it was two stories. There was the bottom level and the upper story. Two opinions in the Gemara and Erevin why it's called Ma'arat HaMachpelah.
External and internal as double or upper as lower?
Two opinions, which one it is.
That's
two. So it seems that the one who says external and internal says that Machpelah double wouldn't be the reference to that, but rather the reference would be to the double pairs, even though it was built that way. Asher b'kzei sadeh, it's at the edge of his field, b'chesef malei itnena li, he should give to me at full price, b'tochechem in your midst, l'achuzat kader, for an inheritance for burial.
Can I ask questions?
Sure.
Why did he need to buy the whole field if all he needed?
So he didn't ask for the field. Ephron sold him the field, and there's a discussion among the commentaries, why did Ephron do that? Some say Ephron had no use for the field. Some say Ephron couldn't imagine that all he wanted to buy was the cave. Must be he wanted the whole field. Different opinions as to why Ephron sold him the whole field.
Tell you something you don't want to buy.
Right, but when you come into a deal, if I come to you and I say, you know, cars have that little thingamajig in the middle of the car, the sign, the Ferrari's horse, or right, what's that called? The emblem?
Yeah.
Right. So I come to you and I say, how much do you want for that thingy? And I point to the emblem. So you tell me $50,000. So I say, fine, here's $50,000. Are you selling me the emblem or the car? I pointed to the emblem. You said you'd take the car. You couldn't imagine. I just want to buy the emblem, right? Avram comes and points to the cave. Ephron can't imagine that he's making this whole fuss about buying a cave. Must be if he wants the deal and he asks all the common folk, go ask him to agree to sell. He doesn't mean to buy a cave. Must be, he means to buy the whole field. That's one understanding. There are others, that Ephron really knew the field was a worthless field. He couldn't plant anything in any, anyways. So he figures, if Avram's saying, I'll buy it at whatever cost he wants, so Ephron figures it's a good way to get rid of the field.
But Rav, also, it's like when you go to like the movie cinema and you know, you say, can I get a popcorn cup? You say, oh, you know, you can get a upsize for just an extra 50 cents. You know, they try and bargain all these extra things to give you more than you originally wanted. So maybe it was that he only wanted the cave and they said, oh, I'll give you this for like a little bit extra.
Okay, it could be. There is a pshat that could be understood that way, yeah. Okay. So Ephron was sitting among the Hittites. Ephron yoshev v'toch nechet. V'yan Ephron echtit Avram bosnev nechet. Chol b'yishari chol emor. Ephron answers in front of everyone saying the following, Lo adoni shmeini, no, you listen to me, my master. Asadeh natati lachem, giving you the field. V'amara asher bo lechan tatiyana, I'll give you the cave that's in the field. Le'enev ne'amin netatiyah lach kvom mitecha. Upset all the people, I've given it to you. Bury your dead. V'ishtachu Avram nifnei ha'aretz. Avram bows before everyone. V'yidaber l'Ephron bosnei ha'aretz nemo. So Avram answers in front of everyone saying the following, Achim atalu shmeini, if only you'd listen to me, I've given the money for the field, take it from me. What word does he use? Kach. I've given the money for the field, kach mimeni, take from me. From here we derive that the word kach is a reference to a purchase with money. And from here we derive the concept that when the Torah tells us, ki kach ish isha, when a man takes a woman, what does the Torah mean a man takes a woman? So the Torah tells us that a man can agree with a woman that she'll be his wife through something of monetary value. How do we engage a woman today? How do we do kiddushin? We give her a ring. We give her something of monetary value. You give her a ring. So this concept that you could do kiddushin with something of monetary value is derived from here. That Avram said, I've given the money, kach mimeni, take this money from me. From here we derive that the word kach means take money for something. So too, when a husband and wife get married, the first step of marriage is kiddushin, in which they agree that she is singled out to be his. She is biblically prohibited to go with anyone else afterwards. And that can be done in one of three ways, either through their agreeing and living together, or through their agreeing and his writing a document of marriage and giving it to her, or through their agreeing and his giving her something of monetary value, which is what we do, kiddushin through kesef or shave kesef.
Question.
Yeah? Okay, yeah?
Something is left to this, but not directly. Do the Memzer do Ketuva?
Again?
Memzer.
Mamzer?
Memzer, again.
Mamzer has a Ketuva.
Is she named Ketuva?
Yeah, why not? Ketuba is a rabbinic institution that in any marriage the rabbis wanted to protect the woman, that it should be very clear what the husband owes her. So the rabbis instituted that we write a certain amount that he owes her. He says, if I divorce you, I'll give you such and such money. And that's supposed to be a deterrent, because if it were just so easy to divorce his wife, so every time she burns his schnitzel, he'd say, you... I've had enough. You talk too much. I'm giving you get.
I mean, as far as he
Chazal knew how fickle men us men are, so they had to protect us from ourselves. What do you mean?
As far as he can't marry from.
He can't marry a Jew. Marry a mamzeres like himself. A mamzer, a bastard, will marry another mamzeres, a female bastard, and
so
then he'll write her ksuba. Why not? We're not so happy about the fact that they're going to have kids and there'll be more mamzerim in Israel. But at the end of the day, bottom line, right? They have other women they can marry. The Mishnah and Kiddushin enumerates who mamzer can marry. But at the end of the day, if they do get married, so they are bound by the same halachot. Yeah.
So, Rav, if kach is a term used in the Torah, specifically with regards to acquiring or buying, and then what does it mean when it says kach na ebincha?
No, kach doesn't always mean this. When we have a gzirat shava, that tells us that the word kach means to take with through to purchase through money. Mm-hmm. So that means that in specific instances that the rabbis had on tradition, we apply it to mean this meaning. It doesn't mean anywhere it appears it means that. It means where the rabbis had on tradition, they applied it like that. You're right. It doesn't mean anytime it says kach through money. Right? Okay. Says the pasuk, so please, I've given the money, you take the money from me, vekberat miti shama, and I'll be able to bury my dead there. Vayanefont Avram limolo, Sephron answered Avram, saying to him, Adoni shmaini, my master, listen to me, eretz abamot shekekeset bini uvenechamai, this land is worth all of 400 silver coins between great friends like you and me, great people like us, what's that kind of money? You take the land, and bury your dead. So Avram hears that Ephron quotes such a hefty price. This is one of Avram's tests. Here he is, God promised him the whole land of Israel. Here he is, God promised him that he's going to have a continuum from Yitzchak, and then God tells him, take Yitzchak and sacrifice him. He takes Yitzchak up the mountaintop to sacrifice him. God says, no, you don't have to. So it's Avram's happiest day. He's just gotten his kid back. And now Avram comes home to rejoice and he finds his wife has died. He comes and he finds his wife has died. And not only is Sarah dead, but when it comes time to bury her, suddenly he has to bargain with all these thieves that don't really have a right to the land of Israel. They themselves stole it from Avram's family. And Avram has to fight with them and argue with them, and he has to deal with them politely as though he's the stranger in the land. He has a right to the land. The land of Israel fell in the portion of shame. And here these Canaanites, they took it by force. And Avram has to behave like a stranger in their midst. And then they treat him with such honor, such respect. But bottom line, when it comes time to give him the field, he quotes him a massive price and no one speaks up. Where's all their respect? They said, we'll give you anything you want for free. But when it came time to give it to him, then no one spoke up when this guy charged him such a hefty price. And Avram doesn't turn to God and say, Rabbonu Shalom, you promised me the whole land is mine. How come when I only need a little slither to bury my wife, I have to bargain like this? No, Avram doesn't say a word. That is one of Avram's tests.
Where was Avram living at this point?
So that is a very good question. The simple understanding is that Avram and Sarah were over here. Here in Hebron. That's the simple understanding, but it's a very, very good question.
Can we?
What is the question?
Where were they living at the time, Avram and Sarah?
Why couldn't he dig a hole and bury Sarah?
Why couldn't he dig a hole and bury Sarah? So if we don't address that question tomorrow night, remind me on Thursday night. And if you want to see the answer yourself, there's a beautiful explanation in the Malbim.
And they were living in Hebron. The Akedah took place in Haran Moriah.
Yeah.
Can we take it as it was a 3-day journey from Hebron to Yerushalayim?
It's a very good question, because that's why I said it's a good question, because if you look back in Parshas Vayera, it says they were living in Be'er Sheva. How'd they get to Hebron? Right? Just before that Akedah, they were in Be'er Sheva.
Ah,
yeah. Look at the Parsha. Here it's telling me they're in Hebron before they were in Be'er Sheva. So there are all kinds of understandings here. Yeah, it says he went back to Be'er Sheva, right? It says they went back to Be'er Sheva in last expression. Yeah. Vayeshev Avram be Be'er Sheva. So Avram's living in Be'er Sheva, and his wife somehow makes it to Hebron. So some say she wasn't feeling well. She went out there for the fresh air and the mountaintops. All kinds of understandings. Some say that when he went for the Akedah, he didn't tell her where he was going. So she went looking for him. So she got all the way to Hebron. She figured maybe he was there and she died there.
Maybe she didn't know where he was going and she was following.
Could.
Hebron is on the way from Beersheba.
Could be. There are different understandings among the commentaries. Some say that years passed between that story and this story. That's why I said when you asked initially.
So then they don't agree that she died because of the Akedah?
That's one medrash.
Popular one.
Yep.
No, but they don't agree. The one that says years passed.
I think that's the Mefarshei HaPshat. That's the Rishon that want to explain according to the simple understanding what's going on here. So then it's not at all clear how old was Yitzhak at the time that Akedah. We go by the understanding we know from Chazal that Sarah died just after that Akedah. Sarah died when she was 127. That means that Yitzhak at the time that Akedah was how old? 37. But one does not have to understand it that way. We don't know when the Akedah took place. Our tradition is that it took place right now. In which case, Sarah was 127 and Yitzhak was 37. But there are those commentaries that say that according to Pshat, the Akedah took place where it seems to be taking place chronologically when Yitzhak is a little boy. And then the story took place years before Sarah passed away. So that's okay.
Then why did she pass away?
People die. Chazal tells us she passed away because she told Avram, Yishpot Hashem b'ni uvenecha. God should judge between the two of us. You're not fighting for my honor. Hagar is disgracing me and you're not doing enough. God should judge between us. And Chazal say, if someone tells someone else, God should judge between us, so God says, okay, but I judge you first. And who could stand up to God's judgment? So Sarah told Avram, God should judge between us. So God said, okay, and God judged her first, and that's why she died first. That's what the Gemara says. But the Rishonim seem to say that if you have no choice, if a guy is cheating someone, and he cannot fight him politically, there's the court systems are stacked against him, he has no place to turn. So the Rishonim say that one of the ways he's allowed to fight him is by turning his eyes to heaven and saying, God, I can't fight him. You fight him for me. You judge between us. So even though the Gemara seems to say a blanket statement, you're not supposed to say that, some Rishonim seem to say that that's in general, just because Sarah had an argument with Avram, what's she saying? God should judge between us. She had a fight with him. She doesn't have to bring God into the picture between them. But there could be instances where one is entitled to say that. Okay. So, Pasuk Tetzayin, Avram listens to Ephron and he weighs out that money. 400 silver coins, Over la Socher. 400 silver coins that can be used in commerce wherever one goes. So, that's the way of the wicked, right? They're Omer Me'at, Vafilu Me'atin, Omrim Arbe, Vafilu Me'atin Amosim. They speak big, they say they're going to do a lot, and they don't even do a little. Ephron says, I'll give you whatever you want for free. And then he not only doesn't give it for free, he takes full price on the land. So that's Over la Socher, takes the greatest coins. Not only does he take 400 silver coin, every coin he takes and he checks. Wait a second, is this the best possible coin? And Avram gives him the best possible coin. Okay. We're up to Sheni. The field of Ephron arose, so to speak. The field, the cave, the trees, everything arose. Avram lemikna and went over to Avram as a sail. Leinev nechet, to the eyes of the Hittites. Bechol beisharicho, all the people who came to the gates, everyone saw this transaction, so Avram was pretty safe that they wouldn't cheat him on it, because everyone knew that this is what happened. If they'd cheat him on it, so then people wouldn't want to do business with the Hittites. Everyone would know that they cheated. They cheated who? They cheated the king of the UN. They cheated Avram. So Avram did it in opposite the public eye. That was a way of protecting his deal with him. They shouldn't turn back and find some kind of legal loophole.
With all respect, it didn't work.
It didn't work. Why didn't it work?
Because there's a bunch of Arabs sitting in Haran right now.
Ah, you're saying now they're there. A few thousand years later, they're still sitting there. Okay. Okay. Says the pasuk v'achichen. After he finishes the transaction, kavah Avram tzara ishto. Avram buried Sarah's wife. It's interesting that the Torah calls her his wife after her passing. El ma'arat zedah machpelah al penei mamrei hi chivron be'etzkinan. In that cave in the field, facing Mamre in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Interesting, the Torah has to give us so many identifying markers. And this verse needs explanation. Avram was getting old. So, Avram was learning Torah. The Avram Zakein, he became an elder in yeshiva. Our elders always learn Torah. Wherever the Avos were, they always were learning. That's why the verse tells Avram Zakein. Avram became an elder. The idea is he became an elder in yeshiva. That our forefathers were always busy learning. So even though he was a businessman, he was learning. Avram Zakein. And Chazal say every one of the Avos was that way. And Avram sees that he looks identical to his son Yitzchak. And they'd walk into the room and people would stand up. Whenever Yitzchak would walk in, they'd think it was Avram. So Avram turns to God and he says, God, there has to be a difference between an older and a younger person. So God says, it's a good idea and I'll start with you. And that's why the first person we find in Tanakh that he became an old man is Avram. Avram was the first one to have white hairs. Avram asked for it. Avram said, it's not good that we look the same when we're old and when we're young. People confuse me with my son.
Is this when sickness came about too?
So, no. So Avram, God tells Avram that's a good idea, and Avram is the first one to become an old man. Yaakov says to God, you know, it's no good that people just sneeze and drop dead. It would be much better if there was some warning sign that a person would get weak as he got older, he would get ill, some warning sign that he's about to die, he'd have time to tell his family. God says, good idea, and I'll start from you. And that's why the first one we find that gets ill in Tanakh is Yaakov. So that's what Moshe was referring to. Yes?
I heard that Adam introduced sickness when he ate from the tree, right?
Don't know.
Before that, there was no such thing as, man was immortal, so to speak. And that basically man's lost his immortality when he ate from the tree.
That's true, but sickness is a different concept. Illness, this is what Chazal say. You could look it up. It's a Gemara in Baba Metzia. It is a Medrash and Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. So, let's continue. It says, Avram was an old man. V'Hashem berachat Avram bakol. God had blessed Avram with everything. And Chazal say, the Torah protects a person from everything when he's young and gives him a good future when he's old. If a person does business, say he becomes 65, 70, at some point he has to retire, what's he going to do with his life? Now he just sits around and talks about the past, the present, and the future. He's got nothing to do. If a person learns Torah, so when he's young, the Torah guides him and tells him how to be a good person. And when he gets old, he has people come to him and say, hey, you've been learning Torah for 70 years. Tell me, Avram was learning Torah, and Hashem blessed him with everything. Yeah, because he was learning Torah. Our sages tell us that if a person does tshuva, even if he was haughty, then Hashem makes him pass away like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were bakol mikol kol, right? We say in Benjamin. Avram was, it says over here, God blessed him bakol. Yitzchak says, ba'ochal mikol, I've eaten from everything. And Yaakov Avinu says, yesh li kol. So bakol, Avram Avinu. Mikol, Yitzchak Avinu. Kol, Yaakov Avinu. And that's what we say in benching. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. What is that? That's this. That they each had that aspect of blessing. So Chazal tell us that if a person does tshuva and he isn't haughty, so then he merits to have like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Bakol, Mikol, and Kol. So let's just conclude what we saw tonight, that the Torah that one learns protects him when he's young and protects him when he's old. And you guys that slept out here tonight, Hashem should protect you when you're young and protect you when you're old. Kol kavod, you're sustaining the whole world. You're coming out here. It's not easy. Those who come to Israel, those who come out from Kiryat Yovel, And Be'ezrat Hashem, Hashem should bless each and every one of you. Bakol, mikol, kol. Laila tov.